The silence of the desert. It's eerily quiet.
I mean, there's literally nothing going on apart from bugs flying.
We're in Argentinian Patagonia, the largest desert region of the Americas. It's perhaps not the place where you might expect to find a Chinese-run ground station. These stations are strategically located across the world to provide continuous coverage of space. And that allows for seamless communication as satellites move across the sky. This one, as with all Chinese ground stations, is run by the CLTC, or China Satellite Launch and Tracking Control General, a sub-entity of the People's Liberation Army.
So that says that the... doesn't work.
La llamada no puede llegar a la otra.
Okay, so that doesn't help.
We've been trying for months to gain access to this facility, but to no avail. The CLTC haven't given any comment or an interview for this documentary. Frustratingly, there's an agreement in place for a visitor centre, but it's not somewhere you can just walk into, which kind of defeats the object of a visitor centre and further adds to the intrigue.
So it looks like a kind of... It's a Patagonian-style building. The kind of a little turret, fake bell tower. I don't know, I kind of have this image of something quite kind of space age when you think of a space station. And then on the other side is the massive satellite.
The ground station sits on a 2 square kilometre plot, and the jewel in the crown of this place is a huge 35-metre tall antenna. This is the first Chinese space research structure built outside of China.
It's an inverted pyramid on a pyramid. So it's a kind of hourglass shape, if you like, which is wider at the top, obviously, the big satellite. And the satellite, although it moves, it can move, it is absolutely facing straight up. So it's checking out exactly what's going on in space at the moment. But there is another smaller satellite to the side of it, which is obviously at an angle. It's so big, the ground space, that you actually... It doesn't... It kind of makes it smaller than it actually is, but you can see how... I mean...
Hola. Hola, gracias. Hay un centro de visitantes aquí.
Sí, pero acá no reciben gente, sino... Tiene que ir a la embajada china.
So he's just said there is a visitor centre, but you can't go in.
No.
I'm Katie Watson. I'm fascinated by China's increasing global influence. Born and brought up for some of my childhood in Hong Kong, and now having spent a decade living in Latin America, I've seen firsthand how China's presence has expanded.
This is like the plains of Argentina. The space is ample and there's nothing blocking it in the way. Like, yes, there are mountains that lead towards the Andes, but...
Here is like too isolated. No big city is going to grow to bother this place in many years. There is no urban plan for this region. So it's going to stay like this for many, many years in the future.
And this ground station has helped China land on the dark side, or the far side of the moon.
Well, poetically dark, because dark means we can't see. And actually, this is the bit. It is the unseen side.
The moon goes around in an orbit that you can only see one side.
Every military operation depends on space. So space connects all the domains and enables all military operations across different areas.
If we can have some water ice resource on the moon, maybe we can save a lot of fuel and money to go from the moon to Mars.
China's Chang'e 6 lunar probe has returned to Earth, bringing with it samples from the unexplored far side of the moon.
China hasn't just landed on the far side of the moon once, it's landed on the far side of the moon twice. The reason this is a world first is it's the first time they've managed to collect soil and rock samples.
Vamos.
China's made no secret of its plan to become a major player in space. And it's through their groundbreaking Chang'e missions, like the Chang'e 6, which brought back the first samples from the far side of the moon, that have paved the way for China's deep space explorations. But what of this so-called far side of the moon? And why is it important? Dr. Dan Brown is Associate Professor in Astronomy and Science Communication at Nottingham Trent University in the UK.
As a scientist, we really don't know that much of the detailed composition of what's going on the far side of the moon. What we do know, since we've explored it in the 50s and onwards, is that the far side of the moon looks utterly different to this side. I'm not talking about little aliens. I'm talking about the patterns of the ground that we are seeing with on our side of the lighter hills, the darker floodplains with lava that have now dried and settled. That kind of pattern doesn't exist at all on the far side. It's far less lava-filled areas, these mara, as we call them. So what we're seeing there is completely different. And our initial exploration has shown that the crust seems to be much, much, much thicker on that side of the moon than on our side. So there's a distinct difference also in the chemical composition. And therefore, there seems to be something intrinsically important in there to help us understand how the moon was formed. You want to bring back material back to Earth and then utilize a substantial amount of spectrographs and analyzing facilities to really, really get down to the nitty-gritty what's in the soil. Are they doing it just because of that? From a cynical point of view, to be said is that all this is working towards a presence on the moon in some form or in some manner, which also enables them to have some ongoing presence, some kind of claim, something where they can then stake out their parcel of land and say, this is ours. How well they will do that, in which manner they will do that, we don't know. But that is an option that they could stake claim upon the moon and claim ownership.
So what does this mean for the rest of the world? Is this the start of a new space race between the US, China and others? For China, space is now a vital part of national security, and satellite internet has been deemed critical space infrastructure.
So my name is Namrita Goswami. I teach space policy and international relations at the Thunderbird School of Global Management, Arizona State University.
Namrita has studied China's grand strategy for over 20 years, and in the last 10 years or so has been focusing on China's space program.
Ground stations are absolutely vital for several reasons. One is that ground stations enable China to keep track of telemetry, tracking and command responsibility, which includes the moon, which includes low Earth orbit. Secondly, ground stations help keep tracks of the satellites that China has. The main reason why China has ground stations, for example, in Argentina, where we went, is about being able to have ground stations in South America so that you can cover the skies of the Southern Hemisphere. The more important thing is that if you look at the contract that China signed with the Argentinian government, that particular ground station is under the contract that Argentinian government will have very little capability to intervene on what China is doing there. And that is, I think, one of the concerns of the ground station from the US side, that while China argues that this is all about civilian logistics, low Earth orbit constellation, communication, the American perspective, including in testimony to Congress, is that this could also be used for military command control and to actually spy on U.S. satellites and U.S. homeland from that particular ground station capability.
And with this ground station in Patagonia operational since 2018, I was keen to discover how locals have reacted.
So we're walking down Las Lajas into town, and this feels kind of like a holiday resort in that there are lots of wooden cabins, nice and green as well, actually. It's kind of nice and green, but at the back you can see the scrubland and the desert kind of creeping, towering over the town, actually. It's quite impressive.
Que lo nuevo asusta también.
Lo nuevo asusta.
Claro, sí, a veces sí, porque uno sabe con quién.
We don't know their intentions, and sometimes you fear the unknown. So there is intrigue and fear. Look at the base. We are wary because we don't know what they are doing in there or what effects it might have on us tomorrow.
No, nosotros vivimos una... Ayer le contaba, anteayer al gobernador...
Yesterday, I spoke to the governor of the whole province. I told him that we live within three frontiers, Argentina, Chile, and China, because it's more or less like that. Chile is fine, it's very close, and we can go and come back on the same day. However, the Chinese space base is a Pandora's box, which we can see from afar, but we don't really know anything about it. We still think it was built to observe the moon and its shadow. Everybody thinks that it's run by the Chinese military. You know what's hard to believe? We can see the Chinese flag flying in our province 40 kilometers away from here. The question we ask ourselves is, if we were to go to China, would we be able to fly our flag there? You know what I mean? It was a contract that our former president signed with them at the time. It runs for 50 years, with the option to extend it to 100 years.
Porque todos dicen de la soberanía y todo, y tenemos esta gente acá.
Everybody talks about sovereignty, and yet we have these people here. We see that they are wealthy.
De imperialista tienen.
And it's almost like they are imperialists. I'd say they are not very well regarded in our society, but people accept them.
Sí.
Sí, sí.
I mean, when we were there, we spoke to lots of locals who were concerned that the links with the PLA, that this was, you know, could this be a military base? And the view was that unless there's information saying otherwise, then you may as well think the worst. And do you think those locals have a reason to think the worst?
I mean, this is not the first time that local populations has been concerned about Chinese ground stations. For example, Sweden, that supported Chinese-based ground station, had to then cancel the contract because of this great concern that how can you have a ground station that can support, for example, very fast downlink capability and supporting PLA for structures vis-a-vis the West? You had similar concerns in Australia, where there were conversations between Australia and China. So I say this because if you look at the concerns of the locals in Argentina, they come from factual evidence. So one thing that is very vital in terms of understanding the Chinese space program is that the People's Liberation Army absolutely dominates it.
The only local we met who's been inside the Espacio Lejano ground station was Ricardo Fabián Esparza, the mayor of the nearby village Bajada del Agrio. He's seen firsthand just how futuristic their neighbors are.
Tienen sus habitaciones, un hotel adentro. Tienen el hotel y después tienen los casinos, el gimnasio.
At the ground station, they have absolutely everything. They have their dwellings, a hotel, a casino, a fitness center, leisure areas, meeting rooms, and let's not forget about technology. I guess you've seen the movie The Terminator, haven't you? It came out when I was young. In one scene, he enters, and all you see are television sets. There, they have something similar. It's huge.
I then asked Ricardo how he felt about the fact that the Chinese had been given this 500-acre piece of land, rent-free.
Tendrían que aportar algo más y sobre todo es como lo que dijiste recién. Si ellos tienen,
they should contribute more. If they have so much money for this mega project, they should at least have spent some of it on local infrastructure. For example, our village is not paved, and helping us to do that would really help improve our relationship with them. After all, they have paved their entire facility and everything is signposted and well lit. It's like a small town, almost a mini city.
The mayor of Bajada del Agrio compares the U.S.-China rivalry to that of two footballing legends.
It is the same type of rivalry that exists between Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. They both want to be the best. This is exactly the same, don't you think? The U.S. and China are competing in outer space, and they are both sophisticated countries. Who can do that? But we are a developing country, and we have different priorities.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
I'm Katie Watson, and this is Stories from the New Silk Road, Space, from the BBC World Service.
Raul Kulichevsky is the executive and technical director of CONAI in Buenos Aires, who operate the facility in collaboration with the Chinese National Space Administration. They're granted 10% of antenna time.
I think what it is important for Argentina in relationship with this kind of agreement is to have the possibility for our scientific community to have access to this kind of antennas that are very rare.
Why can't it be more open? Why can't we go and visit it and understand a bit more about it?
There is no secrets. We have a new administration, and then there are a lot of people in the new administration that wants to go to the station and to know the details about what they do there. When we finished with all these visits, we can arrange a visit for you. There is no secret. There is no problem.
Going to the towns as Lajas, Baja mm-hmm. del Agrio, very few people have been. And I think it's interesting because they say, you know, we don't know what goes on there.
But anyone that wants to visit the station can be in contact with us, and we are going to organize the visit.
Because we were doing access, we spoke to people there, and they said this is a triple frontier. This is Chile, Argentina, and China. I'm just feeding back what the residents are saying. And they worry about sovereignty because they say that China's doing something that we don't know about. To reassure residents of Las Lajas that actually all they're doing is looking at space, what would you say?
Maybe we can improve the relationship because there is no secrets there. We cannot open it every day.
I've seen the contract and China doesn't pay rent. Well, how come?
No, and the European Space Agency doesn't pay a rent. It's an agreement. It's a cooperation agreement. What it is important to say is that land belongs to CONAI. The government of Neuquén give this place to CONAI for 50 years. So the place, the earth, belongs to CONAI. This is something that many people say, oh, because we give this land to the Chinese. It is not true. In the agreement we signed with the CLTC, it is very clear that all the activities that have to be performed are for peaceful purposes. We don't have any proof that this kind of antenna can be used for another purposes.
Ah, there you go.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Whilst in Buenos Aires, I also took some time to visit Diego Gelar, who was the Argentinian ambassador to China from 2015 to 2019.
I was ambassador two times in Washington, once in the European Union in Brussels, once in Brazil, and that my last post was in Beijing, China.
Diego helped negotiate the agreement with China for the ground station. I wanted to know why the negotiation for the ground station didn't include better facilities for local people living nearby.
The fact that it's a superpower and a very wealthy superpower, why shouldn't Argentina say, yes, come build this space station, this observatory, but we want $6 million a year in rent? I mean, it's nothing. But it would be massive for the communities around them.
We lost the opportunity to negotiate, that the treaty was signed.
Because
there was an opportunity. For them, it was a very important installation. No doubt that you could use that in a better negotiation. I agree 100% with you. That could happen. It didn't.
And there's a lot of distrust around this ground station.
I participate in the negotiation to limit that observatory to civilian activities, even though they depend on the leadership of the armed forces.
The additional clause to the agreement between Argentina and China for the ground station states that the facility will be used exclusively for peaceful purposes. But there's a clash of interests here with the running of the ground station, which, don't forget, is headed by the CLTC, a sub-entity of the People's Liberation Army.
But the CLTC is still linked to the PLA.
It's an installation for civilian purposes.
So why not let everybody come along?
It's not a military base. Then if a military base, you can say, have special military rules.
But it is a centre.
This is a civilian observatory.
But it is backed by the military, even if it is a
centre that is something that has to be enforced by the national authorities to say, look, we have to have a procedure for journalists, for deputies or senators.
Yeah, but you can see how it's a grey area when there's no access granted to journalists, when you see that the
I agree with you.
When you look at
but
the structure.
This is an Argentinian mistake. You have a grey zone. No doubt that you have a grey zone. That's true.
But that's a risk that is important to take.
It's life.
There's some ongoing confusion in the area among the locals about whether this is a military or a civilian ground station, without any direct comment or response from the CLTC regarding the ground station's capabilities or its interactions with the Chinese military. I was eager to learn more about how the Chinese space program functions, especially the deep space Chang'e missions, which began in 2007. I spoke with Yi Shu, who works at the Space Science Institute at Macau's University of Science and Technology.
What are the main ambitions of the Chinese space program? Is it scientific? Is it for profits?
I think at this stage, no profit industry is possible, feasible at this stage. But it has an ambitious plan. We have Chang'e 1 to Chang'e 6, right? Chang'e 6 is an ongoing mission. And later we will have Chang'e 7 and Chang'e 8 mission, which target at the south pole of the moon. People believe there is water ice resources in these places. I believe American team and European team are also very interested in this region. And for the Chinese space program, they want to explore if there is any water ice resource in these places. And they also want to set up a research station, like permanently, on the moon.
The Chang'e missions, which began in 2007, have successfully propelled China into the realm of deep space exploration. As part of her role, Yi Shu has held meetings with staff who work for China's space administration. I asked if she'd ever sensed the military's influence in their operations.
Maybe army didn't involve anything in these missions. It's just they don't want to a lot of unit. So the PRA seems very has their own resource, and so they can manage to make this mission possible.
Perhaps, as Dr. Michael Rasker from Nanyang Technical University in Singapore explains, it's better to frame the military's involvement in the context of Chinese power projection.
So on one hand, you know, space gives them the prestige. It gives them the image of a great power that they have been yearning for the past 100 years, coming back from the century of humiliation. So space gives them prestige, the political prestige for the regime, the legitimacy that they seek. And you can see that, for example, in these manned flight missions in Shenzhou or the building of a space station, sort of the manned space flight. But at the same time, they are looking long term. And I think this is very interesting. This is very important to understand. They are looking at these long term missions to Mars that they have been already experimenting. They already had these before, and they have these plans to really exploit deep space much further. You have civil-military implications of that, but space is becoming a source of not only national prestige, but also as a source of military advantage and political power.
If we are, in fact, heading towards a race for lunar resources, ground stations like Espacio Lejano will be crucial.
There's another satellite ground station in South America, and there's one in Namibia. And they are all connected to China, and they provide basically the comprehensive pictures for these deep space and tracking and communication capabilities. So you have that part of the sort of deep space exploration. And at this is, I think, the part where the Chinese are really focusing. So the word of deep space exploration is very much on top of the radar of Chinese leadership. And that's where they want to be really the first and to prove that they have, how far they have come.
We have our own steps, like we want to make progress. Of course, we want to obtain the scientific data. It's like a new understanding of the moon and Mars or asteroids or comets. If we want to have the new knowledge or the understanding, then we have to get something like the data people don't have before. Of course, people want to plan further. If it's possible to use this lunar resource, or we are all thinking about the more practical problem as well as scientific questions.
One of the resources is helium-3 that exists in large quantities on the moon, especially in the South Pole, and that's why many nations are wanting to go to the South Pole. And so helium-3 is vital because it could be used for a future technology like nuclear fusion that can reduce the time we use to travel from one point in space, say, for example, the moon to Mars. So it reduces that.
Chinese President Xi Jinping stated that his country's aspirations are, and I quote, to explore the vast cosmos, develop the space industry, and build China into a space power. These are not just dreams, but strategic ambitions. According to the United States, China is actively working toward a long-term objective of surpassing the US as the dominant global space power, economically, diplomatically, and militarily, by 2045. As these ambitions take shape, the potential wealth of resources on the moon, Mars, or beyond could be pivotal. Only time and space will reveal the outcomes. I'm BBC correspondent Katie Watson, and with producer Pete Shevlin, this has been a C60 media production for the BBC World Service.